Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So in preparation for today's gospel and today's sermon, I thought about a good friend of mine from high school and a story that I thought I would share. We bonded in school, both because we had a lot in common, but particularly because we had language love in common. My friend, I always thought, was a little goofy because he got on the bus every day for 4 years of high school and went all the way to the other county so he could study Latin. We didn't have Latin in our school. We only had Spanish. And some of us, me included, only took 2 years because that was all I had to do to graduate. But he went over and beyond what you had to do, and he went all the way over to Quinnesec County so he could study Latin on the bus every single day. I always thought he was crazy, like, who studies Latin? And on top of Latin, I know, right? On top of Latin, he studied French over there, too, because we didn't have French in our school. We were a small school, so we only had Spanish. And he was doing all these things, and he was taking all these AP courses, all these prep courses for college, and all this intensive stuff, and he was in music, too, and he was always, like, the lead chair, and I think he was in the flute section, and I was always so amazed at all the things that he did, and he did everything really well. So fast forward a couple of years from our freshman and sophomore year when he's going over studying Latin. He's still studying Latin, but we're getting ready for college, and we're talking to the guidance counselor, and he goes in and talks to the guidance counselor. I go in and talk to the guidance counselor. For me, the guidance counselor said, "Oh, you're doing pretty well. Here's a couple schools you should apply to. I got average grades, and I had tons of extracurricular stuff and leadership stuff, and it was good." But my friend goes in, and the guidance counselor says, "You're just a glutton for punishment," to my friend. Because he's doing all this crazy stuff. At least I thought it was crazy. All this over and above stuff and doing it all really well. Getting A's on, like, everything. And the guidance counselor calls him a glutton for punishment. And I kind of was like, well, yeah, he kind of is. But it didn't quite sit well with me because I thought, well, he's working really hard, right? Good things are going to happen for him because he's working really hard. Well, a few months later, after we did apply to lots of schools, there were many that my friend applied to, but one in particular that he really wanted to get into. And of course, it was his father's alma mater. Mm-hmm. Well, before the letter came back to his household, the admissions director called his dad. And because my friend, he didn't get all A's, I thought he did. He had one C on one paper in Latin, and he didn't get into his desired school. One C on one paper, a glutton for punishment, and he still didn't get in. I thought, doesn't it matter that he, like, saw the challenge and just took it on and bulldozed through regardless? Doesn't it matter that he got on the bus every day and went over to, you know, the Kingsford Flivers in Quinnesec? I mean, they were our rivals, too, so he was, like, with the rivals, right? Doesn't it matter that he worked so hard? Wasn't it good enough for this prestigious college that he tested himself and won the race, like we just heard? Well, apparently not for this prestigious college. It just wasn't enough. How many of us are now in our third week of Lent and we think, are we a glutton for punishment? How many of us this season of Lent have decided to sacrifice something of ourselves or give up something that we really love or enjoy or even desire so that we may walk through this season of Lent, drawing ourselves or attempting to draw ourselves closer to our God? Often during this season of Lent, right, we hear about fasting, about the sacrificial journey, about that faithful reason to sort of deprive ourselves. And I think the discipline of fasting is powerful and good. It's important. But perhaps there's something a little bit different that's offered in the text for today. You know, fasting is that ability to get rid of what's depriving ourselves of that deep connection with God, and it's super crucial for the Christian journey. There's nothing wrong with it. But as we go on sort of an autopilot thinking of what we assume or believe Lent to be all about, we have the text, and I want to focus on what we heard from Isaiah and from Luke today. Listen again to the beginning of Isaiah. Ho! Should have been even louder, but you did good. Where is he? You did well. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And that you have no money, come and buy and eat anyway. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good and delight yourselves with rich food. It's not what you expect to hear during Lent, is it? It's not like fasting and repenting the way I think about Lent when I'm on my automatic pilot mode. God, through Isaiah, calls out and says, ho, or I would say, yo, wake up, pay attention, this is really important. Come to the waters. Come not just get a cup of water or a sip of water from the fountain, but come to the abundant, overflowing waters. You who have no money, no problem. Come anyway. Come and be filled with God's abundance. Come to the banquet of wine and rich, good food. Don't be a glutton for punishment by working for that which does not satisfy. Here in Isaiah, God calls out to everyone and makes it irresistible to come to God to receive water and food abundantly. And with it, with that reception of God's abundance, is the affirmation that God wants us to participate. God wants our labor and our effort to be satisfying and fulfilling, not just to feel like we're a glutton for punishment. And God continues in Isaiah to explain this sort of bond, this covenantal relationship with David and all who come after him. Here again, he says, incline your ear, come to me, listen, so that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader to the commander of the peoples. See, I shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God. The Holy One of Israel has glorified you. God cares about what happens. God cares about the actions. God cares, going into Luke now, that we bear good fruit. Of course, that's not all God cares about, right? God doesn't just care that we do good stuff. It's not required of us to do good stuff for God to love us. It's not a part of our theology as Lutheran Christians. But we do hear in the text for today that as we incline our ear to God's word, that we come and that we listen, we hear that God calls and that God offers abundance. Repentance, we heard a little bit about too. Repentance is often something we hear a lot about during the season of Lent. Opening our ears and our hearts to hunger and receive the gifts and the desires of God and not those things of this world. But I want to bend it a little bit to say perhaps repentance also means deciding what in our lives is like the fig tree in Luke's text. What's lying fallow, producing little or no fruit in our lives. What isn't reflecting the abundance or the goodness of God? Or maybe even more, dare I be bold to say, are we just taking up space like the fig tree? Or are we participating in God's kingdom? Are we bearing good fruit, affecting for a positive way the lives of those around us? What is the problem with the fig tree? Think about it for a minute in the story. It's not doing anything. It's just taking up space in the soil. And that gardener says, well, just let's give it what it needs. Let's nourish it. Let's put a little manure around it and a little extra watering. So in other words, how are we living out what God is calling us to do? Not just in the metaphorical sense of the gospel, but living out in ways that are concrete and impacting the world around us. The parable follows a really sort of tense and complex exchange about why good things happen to good people. There's so much in this text from Luke. They come to Jesus and they say, these poor people, they're suffering. Did they do something wrong? Did those Galileans deserve what happened to them? They're probably wondering if they actually earned this terrible fate. It's a common question, right? We ask this question too. Did so-and-so do something to deserve this? How many times maybe have we thought it, if not said it out loud? Why do I deserve this? Jesus addressed that question head on. No, nobody deserves. Jesus said it's not the way it works. Jesus sort of severs, if not officially severed, that link between any universal causal connection between suffering and sin. Suffering, Jesus says, does not happen because of sin. Now, sometimes some suffering follows a wrongdoing, just is sort of the natural ebb and flow of life. But Jesus is saying here that it's not an automatic connection. It's not because of a sin that suffering will have to happen. And the opposite is true too, right? There's no universal connection between good things happening and God's blessing. God's blessing comes to us anyway. Whether we deserve it or not, we are God's blessed children. We heard in Isaiah today, ho, come to the party. Yo, wake up. It's all for you. Whenever I hear it happens on news broadcasts, it happens at parties, it happens at all times when people are having good things in their lives, they say, oh, I'm so blessed. Or so-and-so has such blessings in their lives. And I want to say, well, really? I think they're just pretty gosh darn lucky. They're lucky that something good has happened. Perhaps they've worked hard for it to happen too, but they're lucky because they're not any more blessed by God than somebody else who hasn't had the same effect for the same action. I want to believe that blessing from God is so much more than good luck. Blessing from God is so much more. It's bigger and greater than just plain old luckiness. Blessing has more to do with God than it has to do with us. Like the gardener who was consulted on about this fruitless fig tree, Jesus has patience with us as we struggle with this. But he also realized, as we get from the story, there's a sense of urgency. We don't have forever. There's an urgency to repent, to evaluate, to turn and to listen to God, and to actively bear fruit with God, too. This Sunday, we hear, ho, come to the party. Come to the banquet of God, that lush, beautiful, fulfilling banquet of God. And next Sunday, we'll hear a story about another party. And the week after that, we'll hear another anointing and blessing of God. I mean, people, these are stories you don't expect to hear in Lent. We're shifting our thinking. God's saying there's something more abundant and good than this world can offer. So don't be, my friends, a glutton for punishment. Be fruitful. Act upon God's goodness. It's all available to us. God doesn't wish for us to be deprived or to be starved. I think, in fact, God desires quite the opposite. God desires nurturing and to receive the abundance of life that God's always creating and renewing through the gift of God's Son, who has given everything, even his own life, so that we can live in abundance. Amen.